do appreciate the opportunity to get to be here tonight. As I said, I thank the Lord for any opportunity he gives me to go out and preach his word. And I appreciate your pastor. He has been a great blessing to me down through the years. And I appreciate it. It's just an honor for me to be able to come and be with y'all tonight. I appreciate that opportunity. And I hope and trust that I can say something tonight that'll be a help and a blessing to you. That's what we're here for, and that's what we want to do, and I want to try to be a help to you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 11. Numbers, chapter number 11. We're going to bring the message that the Lord's put upon our heart tonight. Numbers, chapter number 11. We'll read a few verses of Scripture here tonight. I'm going to deal kind of with this, the biggest part of this chapter tonight, but I want to read several verses here to you. Before we get started again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Numbers chapter number 11, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." And look down at verse number 10. It says, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. And I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. And if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." And I want to take these verses of Scripture here tonight and bring the message the Lord's put upon our heart. I want to talk to you tonight about don't let down get you out. Don't let down get you out. I want to deal with a little bit with discouragement tonight. And I believe that we can see some things out of these verses of Scripture and how that Moses, a great man of God, became discouraged here in his walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us and be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings, everything you've done for us. And God, we need your help and your touch tonight. Without you, we know we're nothing. So Lord, I pray you'd touch us and help us. And God, help us to be a help and a blessing to your people tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. Don't let down get you out. As I said, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about discouragement and getting down in our spiritual life. I think if there's something that every one of us in this room tonight could say that has probably happened to us sometime or another in our spiritual life, we've been discouraged in the work that we're doing for the Lord. We've been down in our spiritual life. We've gotten a little discouraged about what we were trying to do for God. And God never promised us when we started serving Him that it was going to be easy. He never said nowhere in His Word that we was going to have roses and everything was going to be grand all the time, and we was going to get up just on fire and excited all the time in our life. We know if you've been saved any length of time at all, you know that the devil's going to fight you, and he's going to do everything that he can to discourage you. And I believe one of the biggest tools that the devil uses today in Christianity is discouragement. Because he knows if he can discourage you, he knows if he can get you down in your spiritual life, then he can keep you from doing the work for God, then he can keep you from being what you should for God. Discouragement is a big tool that the devil uses. And I guarantee you, if you do something for God, there's going to come some times that you're probably going to get a little discouraged. Things don't go the way you want them to go. You have these aspirations and ideas and dreams of what you want to do for God, and man, you're trying to do them, and you're trying to focus on what He wants you to do, and it just seems like you run into this problem and that problem. And if you allow them things to get in your life so much, you'll become discouraged in your spiritual life. You'll get to the point where you think, man, why in the world am I doing all this work? And you look right here in these verses of Scripture, here's one of the greatest men in the Bible that became discouraged. Became discouraged. And discouragement is something that can hinder us from accomplishing what we need to for God. Let me read you this little poem that I read. It says, a small monument story was made with a few stones marks a spot on Mount Washington where a young girl died on a bitterly cold night. Yet her death was something that did not have to occur. It seems that she and her father had decided to climb that great mountain without hiring a guide. As darkness fell and the biting cold sapped the last bit of their strength and energy, they became discouraged and sat down on the trail. During the night, the girl died from exposure and heart failure due to the cold. When the morning light dawned on that wind-ravaged mountainside, her distraught father soon discovered that if they had walked just a few more feet, they would have seen the lights of a place called Tip Top Cabin. A place where a crackling fire would have warmed their bodies, a place where they would have been safe and protected from the cold and the icy fingers of death. What prevented them from reaching that place of safety was, in one word, discouragement. Yep. In the journey that they were on, they faced obstacles. In the journey that they were on, they faced opposition, they faced problems, they faced darkness. And because of that, they became discouraged, and that discouragement caused them to sit down in their journey. And when they did, they ended up falling, they ended up failing, they ended up dying because of their discouragement. Yep. The same can happen in your Christian life when you're trying to do a work for God and you're on this journey and you're going for Him and doing things for Him. We can allow the darkness and the trials and the troubles and the situations get so bad in our life and become so overwhelming to us that we become discouraged. And if we sit down in our spiritual life, and we just decide we're not going any further, we're not going to do anything, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be just like that little girl. We're going to die spiritually.
That's right, preacher.
And there's so many people all over this country that go to church Sunday after Sunday. They may not be out of church, but they're so discouraged. They've gotten so down over the years, and they let that discouragement get them to the point that where they've died spiritually.
Yep.
They show up. They fill a spot. They sit in a pew, but they're not really amounting to anything for God. And God has something for each and every one of us to do in our spiritual life. When He saved us, He didn't save us just to sit on a pew and show up to church. He saved us to be busy doing something for Him. That doesn't mean we're not going to face discouragement, because we are. There's going to be that opposition that comes our way. The devil's going to do everything he can to try to get us down and get us out in our spiritual life. And here in these verses of Scripture, our text that we read, the very same thing is happening to this great man of God. Moses. Moses was discouraged in the journey. He was discouraged in the work that he was doing. Here he was getting down about the work that he was doing because things wasn't maybe going the way he wanted to, and things weren't going the way he thought they should, and he was getting discouraged. And you know what? Before you get all high and mighty and think, well, I can't believe Moses would do that, each and every one of us in this room tonight is candidates for the very same thing. Every one of us in here tonight, the devil's got a bullseye on our back, and he don't want us doing anything for God. He don't want us accomplishing anything for God. And he will do his very best to get us discouraged, because that's a tool that he can use. He can't take our salvation away from us. There's nothing he can do about us being saved. But he can get us discouraged in our journey to the point that we want to quit on God. And it can happen from the pulpits to the pews. Every one of us in here is acceptable to it. We just got to make sure that we stay where we need to in our life. Here's one of the greatest men we know in the Bible, and yet he got discouraged. He got down and out in his spiritual life. And I want to show you a few things that we can see here tonight, and we'll go to the house as far as looking at Moses and seeing what got Moses down, what got Moses to this point in his life where he was ready to just be out of it. He was ready to be done. He was so discouraged in his life. What got him there? First of all, I want you to look at verses 1 through 9. We see the causes, or the cause of Moses being down. The first cause of Moses being down was in verse number 1. The Bible says, and when the people complained.
Oh, yes.
It was a complaining people that caused
right.
him to be down.
Right.
You know what? One of the biggest discouragements in ministry as a pastor, as a preacher, is people that complains over and over and over again.
Amen.
Your pastor don't need to hear you complaining all the time about everything. That discourages him. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you stand up and you teach Sunday school and there's people in your class that's complaining about your teaching, you know what that's going to do? That's going to get you discouraged.
Right, right.
It's going to discourage you in what you're doing. There's so many people that wants to find fault in things of the Lord. They come to the house of God. They sit around the house of God and they look at all the things that they see wrong with everything, yet they're doing nothing to help things go better. If we're going to mount anything for God, we've got to be a people that will rise up and do something for God. Instead of sitting around and complaining about this and complaining about that, we ought to be busy doing a work for God. The first thing that got Moses down was a complaining people. Here Moses was. He was trying to work for God. He was trying to lead the people of God. He was trying to do something great for God. And all the people could do was complain about everything that was going on. And it began to affect Moses. It began to get to him. Not only was it a complaining people, but it was a craving people. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?'" It was a craving people. You know what they were doing? If you read here in these verses of Scripture, God was supplying for them. God was giving them what they needed. God was giving them everything they had to have. But you know what? They wanted something else. They was craving something else. Instead of having the things that God had always provided for them, instead of being happy with what God had always done, how He had always blessed, they wanted something new. There's so many people today that's trying to find something new. Instead of just getting busy for God and doing something for God and following them old paths and doing it the same way, they want something new. They're craving something else. I know preachers that right now have went away from that old path because they thought to draw a crowd they was going to have something new. There's preachers that I know personally that's done that very thing. They've gotten away from the old paths. They've gotten away from the old hymns because they're craving something new. And what we need to do is just get busy doing the old things that we're supposed to be doing. If we would learn to put God first, if we would learn to make much of Him and quit trying to build it up on our own, quit trying to do it in ourselves, we would be amazed at what God could do. The cause of Moses being down was a complaining people and a craving people. But not only that, we see there was a coveting people. Look at verse number 5. It says, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." That manna was sustaining them great for a while. There was never any complaints about it. All of a sudden now, it's not what they want. The manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of a delium. "The people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as a taste of fresh oil." Not only we see it was a complaining people, a craving people, it was a coveting people. You know what they began to do? They began to want the things that they used to have when they were in bondage in Egypt.
Right.
Here they were, man. At first they was all excited. Moses was the greatest thing. He had led them out of Egypt. He had done all these great things. They was excited about doing something for God. And all of a sudden now, they're thinking back of where it used to be when they were in bondage.
Yeah.
They had gotten so away from God. Let me just stop right here long enough to say this. If you're right with God, you won't have anything to complain about. I have noticed that over the years. I've noticed it in my own life.
Right.
One that stands in the pulpit sometimes, I've been guilty of going to church and thinking, "Psh, I wouldn't do that that way," or "Psh, I wouldn't do that." You know what was wrong with me? My spiritual life wasn't where it ought to be. Because if your spiritual life's where it ought to be, you're not going to complain about everything that goes on down at the house of God. You're just going to get behind the man of God and you're going to go down the road and do whatever needs to be done.
Amen.
And here in these verses of Scripture, Moses had become down because of a complaining people, a craving people, and a coveting people. The cause of Moses being down. Not only we see the cause of Moses being down, but I want you to look at the cries of Moses being down. Look at verses 10 through 15. It said, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased." There in verse number 10, the first cry we see of Moses was a cry of anger. Moses was angry about what was going on. Moses himself had gotten discouraged in his spiritual life. Now he had become angry about what was happening. He was angered. And you know what? Have you ever noticed when you get to slipping away from God and you get discouraged in your life and your spiritual life isn't where it ought to be, that anger will start building up.
You're exactly right.
Things will set you off that didn't used to set you off. Things will make you mad that didn't used to make you mad. Because it all boils down to our spiritual life.
Yes.
And I know that because I know me.
Yep.
And And I know how I am. And I know when my spiritual life ain't up to par and where it ought to be, I know the things that I deal with. Moses had gotten discouraged and now he was angry. The cries of Moses, it was a cry of anger. He was angry. Not only see it was a cry of anger, but it was a cry of animosity. In verses 10 through 14 there, he begins to complain about it. Look at verse number 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. The animosity of Moses. You know what Moses was? Moses had become so discouraged that he was saying, God, why in the world did you even put me dealing with this mess? I have to be honest. I've been there before. There's times when I've been trying to do a work for God and I run into a bunch of problems and it's this problem after that problem and you get a little discouraged and you're sitting thinking, Lord, why'd you even put me to doing this? If I was going to have to deal with all of this, why'd you even put me to dealing with this? Why'd you even put me to doing it? If you knowed I was going to face all this opposition, if you knowed I was going to go up against all these problems, then why in the world am I even here? It's like Brother Shelton, he made a statement to me over there a while ago. God puts tests before you. When he puts them tests before you, he's going to see if you pass them tests. And if you don't, you may have to go back and do that test all over again, just like in school. And you know what? I look back at them problems and them circumstances and them trials now, and I see that God used them things to sculpt me, to help me learn things. There's things later that I'll learn from that experience that'll help me in experience down the road. We've just got to learn to keep our eyes on the Lord. Instead of getting discouraged when we run up against them problems, instead of getting discouraged when we run up against them trials and them circumstances in our life, we've got to learn to just keep our eyes on Him and know that He knows what's best for us. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but He knows what's best for us. The animosity of Moses, the cries of Moses here, his anger, his cry of anger, his cry of animosity. Not only that, his cry or his appeal. In verse number 15, it says, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of the hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You know what Moses is saying? I'm done with this. I'm out, God. I'm fed up. If this is what I'm going to have to deal with, if this is what I'm going to have to do, then I just soon to be gone. Yep. Moses had become so discouraged that this is the point in his life where he was at. I look at this and I think about this. I think about what caused Moses to be down. I think about the cries of Moses being down. I look at that from a human standpoint and I think, you know what? I understand how Moses was feeling. He was dealing with all this stuff. He was putting up with all these problems. From a human standpoint, we can understand that he was down. We can understand that he was discouraged. But you know what? Even though we can understand that, even though our human side of us sees where he's at, it still ain't no reason for us to be discouraged. I'm going to make a statement to you, and it's, in my mind, it's even hard when I say it, but this is so true. It is never God's will for you to be discouraged in your spiritual life. God has given us all of the promises in His Word. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be there for us. He'll always supply our need. All the promises that He's given us in His Word, there should really be no reason for us to ever get to the point where we're discouraged in working for Him. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be disappointed when things doesn't do the way you want them to do, but you know what? God knows what's best. If we're doing what He put us to doing, and we're giving it 100% on our end, and we're doing all we can, then that's all God expects out of us. We try to make it more about us, and we want things to be done the way we want things to be done, instead of letting God do them the way He wants them to be done. Yes, sir. So there is never a time in our spiritual life where we should become discouraged. It's not God's will. And we know we deal with our flesh every day, and our flesh don't always want to do the right things. But Moses had become discouraged. Now, I give you them 2 points because I want to get you to this. In your spiritual life, when you become discouraged and you get to the point that Moses was at here and you begin to affect things in your life. I believe with all my heart, when you get discouraged in your spiritual life, it affects things. And I believe the last point that I want to give you tonight is the consequences of Moses being down. There was consequences for Moses getting discouraged and getting down in his spiritual life and getting to the point of where he was at in these verses of Scripture. I believe there was consequences that Moses faced for it, and we can face them same consequences in our life. When we allow the troubles and the trials and the things in our life to overwhelm us and get the best of us and not give it to God and let God take care of it, I believe there can be consequences. I want you to look at what happened to Moses here. The first consequence we can see in verse number 12. Verse number 12, we see he lost some of his tenderness. Look what it says. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say to me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? He lost some of his tenderness. At one time, Moses would have been happy to do everything he could to deal with them people and their problems. He'd have been happy to do everything he could to help them get through the discouraging time they were in, or be whatever he could be to them to help them go on down the road for God. But because Moses had gotten down, because Moses had let discouragement get the best of him, now he had lost some of his tenderness. He didn't have that tenderness that he once had. He began to have people come to him with this problem and that problem. And instead of having that tenderness that he ought to have, he probably was walking off thinking, psh, I don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
Because he wasn't where he needed to be with God. And I have to be honest, I've been there before. There's been times where I was fed up myself and people come to me with this problem and that problem and I'm thinking, I don't even want to deal with your problem right now. He lost some of his tenderness. And it's God's will for us to have that tender heart in our spiritual life. It should concern us when people that we love, people that we're around, people that we go to church with all the time, they're going through things and having problems in their life. It should concern us. It should tenderize our heart and make us want to help them to be able to go on, get them out of that discouragement that they're in. But Moses had become so distraught in his own life. He had become so discouraged in his own life that he didn't even really care about their problems right now. He was questioning why God even put him to dealing with it. He'd lost some of his tenderness. And you don't want to lose your tenderness. I've seen people over the years that I've been around, and you see God just grip at their heart all the time and breaks their heart, and you see them crying during service, and then you see them slip away from God. Get away from God, and you see them tears begin to dry up. That tenderness go away from them. And I believe once you lose some of that tenderness, there's some of it you never get back. He lost some of his tenderness. But not only that, I think here's another thing that's sad when you look at it. Not only did he lose some of his tenderness, look at verse number 16 and 17. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not thyself alone. Not only do I believe he lost some of his tenderness, but I think he lost some of his touch. What a sad thing in our spiritual life when we get so discouraged and so down and we allow circumstances and things to overwhelm us so much that we lose some of our touch for God. The Bible says here that he taken the 70 elders, he put his touch, some of his touch upon them. And I believe Moses lost some of that touch that he had. Did Moses still do great things for God? Yes. Did Moses still live for God? Yes. But I think he lost some of that touch that he had when he began to complain and grumble and murmur about everything that God had put him to doing. And I know it is so easy preaching and hard living sometimes. We can get up here and we can say, man, this is what the Bible says, and boy, we shouldn't get discouraged, and it's not God's will for us to be discouraged. But that's real hard sometimes when you put the rubber where it meets the road.
Right.
That's hard to do. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm something super spiritual and I've never been discouraged, because that's not the case. And I'm sure somewhere in the future I'm going to get discouraged again. But that's not what God wants us to do. And we have His promises to know that we can get through anything that God puts or allows in our path. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and we're living for Him, then God's going to help us get through them things.
Amen.
Moses had become so discouraged that he'd lost some of his touch. I believe there's a perfect will of God, and then I believe there's that permissive will of God. And you know what? If you decide to walk away from God, God will permit you to do that.
Yep.
but there's going to come a consequence for it.
Oh, yes.
There's going to be a cost for it. We better watch the things that we do trying to step away from God. And remember, with His permissive will, there's a great price to be paid. He lost some of His touch. He lost some of His tenderness. The consequences of Moses being down. But then I want you to see not only that, look at verse number 18 through 23. The Bible says, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. Verse number 20. But even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat the whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fishes of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, As the Lord's hand waxed short, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Not only did he lose some of his tenderness, he lost some of his touch. But I believe he lost some of his trust or some of his faith.
Yeah.
During this time of discouragement in Moses' life, Moses lost a little bit of his faith. God said, here's what I'm going to do. If they want meat to eat, then I'm going to give them meat to eat. They're not going to have it 1 day, 5 days, 10. We're going to give it to them a whole month. They're going to have so much of it, they're going to be sick of it.
Right.
And Moses is like, God, you're telling me all these people that we have here, you're going to give them all the meat they're going to want to eat until it comes out of their nostrils. He began to doubt what God could do. God had said, this is what's going to happen. And Moses, because of his discouragement, Moses, because he was down in his spiritual life, he had lost that trust. He had lost some of that faith that he had in God. He had seen God perform great things. He had seen God do great things in his life. But here he is now. He ain't even believing what God had said because Moses was down in his spiritual life. Moses wasn't where he ought to be. He had allowed discouragement to become so prevalent in his life, to become so overwhelming in his life, that he couldn't even trust what God had told him. He couldn't even believe what God had told him. The consequences of Moses being down. And let me say to you tonight, there's consequences for you getting discouraged in your spiritual life. You never know who's paying attention to you. You never know who's watching you. There's consequences. We see he lost some of his tenderness. We see he lost some of his touch. We see here he lost some of his trust. But then I want you to look at chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Not only did he lose some of his tenderness, some of his touch, some of his trust, but I believe that Moses lost some of his testimony. If you go back, and I didn't find anywhere, maybe you have. If you go back and study through your Bible, I looked in all the places that Aaron was there with Moses. Nowhere in there did I see that Aaron ever questioned what Moses said we was going to do. I don't see it nowhere. Maybe I overlooked it. Nowhere did he question, but I believe because of Moses being in the condition that he was in spiritually right now, that Aaron, that one that was watching him, that was looking at him, that was paying attention to him, he's seen the condition that Moses was in. He's seen how discouraged that Moses was. And he's seen that Moses was questioning God and not trusting God, not doing the things that he had once seen Moses do. And because of that, it affected a little bit how Aaron looked at Moses. Because Aaron began to question, is Moses the only one that God's ever spoke to? Moses saying, what, have we stuck him on some high pedestal? Have we made something more out of him than he is? I've seen this. I've seen him be discouraged. I've seen how he is. I've seen how he's questioned God. It affected his testimony. And you know what? I believe with all of my heart, and I know I've seen this happen. I know it happens. People in the work of God can get so discouraged that they start getting down in their spiritual life. They stop doing the things they once did. They stop living the way they once lived.
Yep.
They stop being faithful to God the way they once was faithful to God. And somebody is watching them. And you may think that nobody's paying attention to your spiritual life. You may think that nobody notices when you miss a service. You may think that nobody notices when you're not doing the work that you once did. But somebody's paying attention to you. Somebody's watching you. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. They're paying attention to see if you're going to be faithful to God, if you're going to stay faithful to Him. And you can get so discouraged and down in your spiritual life to the point to where it affects you and people begin to notice it. And you stop living for God the way you once lived for Him.
You're right.
Because discouragement can affect your whole life. I know I've experienced it. You can get so discouraged and so down that, man, you just can't get nothing out of church the way you once did because your spiritual life's not where it is. You can't pray the way you once did. You don't spend time in your Bible the way you once did. You don't do the things that you once did that helped you stay the strong Christian that you need to be. And because of that, it begins to affect everything in your life and people are noticing it. They go to church and they say, well, I wonder what's wrong with so-and-so. He looked awful down. He looked like he didn't even enjoy church at all. It seems like the last few weeks he just sits there with a frown on his face or with a frown on her face and they don't care anything about the things of God. We used to see them stand up and raise their hand when the choir was singing. We used to hear them holler amen when the choir was singing, when the preacher was preaching, but they've gotten so down and so discouraged that they're so far away from God. And that's exactly what happened to Moses here. He got so discouraged in the work that he was doing. He allowed that discouragement to take over his life.
Yes.
And you know what? Whatever you feed the most in your life is what's going to rule your life.
You're exactly right.
If you're so discouraged in your life that all you're doing is focusing on that discouragement and focusing on that problem, that's going to be what rules your life. That's going to be what you focus on all the time. If you focus in on your job or whatever it may be, things out in the world, hobbies, whatever it is, and that's what all your focus is upon, that's what's going to prevail in your life. That's what's going to show in your life. If you're always feeding yourself with the things of the world and you're never putting any spiritual food in, guess what's going to prevail? Your flesh.
Yes, sir.
Your fleshly life. Living outside of church, not doing the things that you once done is going to be the things that's going to prevail if you're not feeding yourself the way. Whatever you feed the most is what's going to be the most in your life.
That's right.
Moses had become so discouraged that it was showing in his life. People were seeing it. The consequences of Moses being down. And I wonder, maybe there's someone in this auditorium tonight. Maybe you've gotten discouraged in your spiritual life. Maybe you've gotten down in your spiritual life. And it may not even have been anything that was your fault. It could have been something that happened, something that came your way, a trial, a circumstance, whatever it may be, but it's gotten you discouraged. And now all you're doing is focusing on that discouragement. Instead of putting your eyes on God, instead of keeping your eyes on Him, instead of making sure that you're continuing to go forward for God, you've gotten so discouraged, so down and out, that you're just about ready to quit. You're about ready to give up. I've seen people down through the years that I thought were great Christians, was on fire for God, and something happened in their life that got them discouraged, got them down, and I've seen them slip right out the door. And it can happen to anybody.
Oh, yes.
If we allow them things to become bigger than our God is to us, we look at all of our problems, we look at all of our circumstances, we look at all the things that we have going on, and they become bigger to us than God, and they think, how in the world can God fix this problem? You know what? So many times in our spiritual lives, we limit God. We limit Him. I've done it myself. I've said this for years. It's so true. We can believe God for the little things in our life, but we can't believe Him for them great big things. We think, man, that's too big. There's no way. And we allow that thing to become so big to us that that's all we think about. We wake up with it on our mind. We go to bed with it on our mind. It's on our mind throughout the day. Instead of keeping our mind on God, keeping our eyes focused upon Him, that's exactly what happened to Moses in this verse of Scripture. Instead of Moses keeping his eyes on the Lord and keeping his focus upon Him, Moses was looking at all that was going on around him. He was paying attention to all the problems. He was listening to the people complain, and he was listening to them murmur, and he was taking all them things in and letting it beat him down instead of him getting along with God and saying, God, this is a situation. You know what's going on. You're going to have to help me with it.
Amen.
So many times we limit God on what He can do in our life. the consequences of Moses being down. And I wonder how many of us are here tonight that we're down to the point we're just about ready to give up. We've got something going on. Maybe you've got a heartache or trouble in your life. Maybe you've got a sickness, whatever it may be. But you've gotten discouraged in your spiritual life. Maybe that Sunday school class is not going the way it ought to be. Maybe that witnessing that you've been doing is not seeming like it's doing anything, and you've gotten discouraged in your spiritual life. Don't let that discouragement get you down to the point where you're ready to get away from God. Because I promise you, it can. It can get you so far down. And the devil, he knows when he gets you a little discouraged. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to beat you further and further down. Yes, he's going to do his best to step on your throat and get you further and further down. Because he knows if he can, he might just get you out. He may just get you away from church, right, away from God, and away from doing anything for him. Don't let down get you out. I wonder, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, maybe there's some of you here today, you say, "Preacher, I'm in that situation right now. I'm discouraged. I've got something going on in my life that has just gotten me so discouraged." Maybe you're here tonight and you know what you need to do? If you're discouraged, if you're down in your spiritual life, instead of dragging it around with you, instead of trying to bear that burden on your own, get in this altar and say, "God, help me to leave it here tonight. God, I want victory over it. I want you to help me with it." I'm going to let the preacher come. He's going to close the invitation. You do with the message what the Lord would have you do tonight.